Last month, we were in the book of Ephesians. Remember, we did Ephesians backward.
Yes.
Wasn't that fun?
It was.
We started at the conclusion and worked our way back to see the process leading to the conclusion. Okay? Partway through it, we came across in Ephesians 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. Remember, I gave you homework, those who are here. Be thinking about what are all the aspects of love. Okay. Now, we want to go back, because I used a TV broadcast tower as part of my illustration. In order for a broadcast to go forth, you have to have power. But you have to have equal grounding. If you don't have it grounded, and I know when they was teaching me on it, it was 1 foot per mile. So if you want to reach 100 miles, you need 100 foot of ground. And you can have all kind of power, but if you aren't grounded, it won't work. Now, a lot of people have a lot of grounding and no power. That won't work either. So you have to have the equal. It's kind of like getting people to stay equalized in praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, and studying the Bible. If all you did was pray in tongues, you'd end up being fanatical and probably wouldn't help anyone. If all you do is read your Bible, you'd probably get mean. Most people I know, that's all they do. It's like, I'm right, you're wrong. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But if you have both together, it's kind of like you find it in Jude. Building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Faith and love. Okay? Now, this brings us to tonight's study. We want to look specifically at becoming grounded in love. You can't help people unless you're grounded in love. And we need to look at all the aspects of that. How can we do that? Developing power, we can go into our closet and get all kind of power. But being grounded in love means that's hard work. Mm-hmm. That's hard work. If you're going to put in ground wire, you're going to have to dig ditches. And it's going to be a lot of work involved in that. Okay? So let's start at the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Why did he do that? Well, he did it on purpose so he could put people on the earth that would be the object of his love. So the love is the center of everything. It's the center of the whole universe. It's what makes everything work. Okay? And if you don't walk in love, even if I have faith to move mountains and have not love, it profits nothing. So you could have a tremendous faith, but then when you see that faith works by love, see, if you're used to King James, it's faith which worketh by love. Circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, but faith which worketh by love. But the Greek word is energy.
Energy.
Faith is energized by love. And so God in his love, by faith, was energized, created, he spoke the universe into existence. So love is what everything is about. See, it doesn't matter how religious you are, right? Any of that stuff. If you don't have love, you're not going to accomplish much for the kingdom of God. Okay? So we want to then look at the various aspects of love. Of course, love, defined basically, is self-sacrificial giving. Okay? Love is self-sacrificial giving. Or another way to put it is to be interested in the best interest of another. Okay? So then we talk about righteousness. Okay? Righteousness is meeting the demands of another. So if I don't meet Jesse's demands, my wife, then I am acting in unrighteousness. See? And if you go back to the Old Testament, oppression is unrighteousness. So God, in his righteousness, is delivering people from oppression. Okay? He's always the redemptive uplift. He's pulling people up, come to seek and to save that which is lost. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so he's loving. Now, we pick and choose in our loving, but God doesn't do that. God doesn't pick and choose. He just simply loves. If we're going to cooperate with God, then we have to love the way he loves. Okay? We can't pick and choose. There's bad people, there's good people, there's mean people, there's enemies. You know? When we studied righteousness, remember, we talked about just meeting the demands of a relationship. So how many relationships do you have? Well, I have a wife, and then I have children. I have great-grandchildren, and now I have 7 great-grandchildren. So I have, in righteousness, I must love them. And not because they're good or bad. I just love them. See? Okay, then it says, love your neighbor. That's a little harder. And it doesn't matter who your neighbor is. It didn't say love your good neighbors. It says love your neighbor. Okay, then it says love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. And many times what I found, by loving my enemies have become my best friends.
Say, yes, sir.
Right. The goodness of God leads to repentance. See? And so, if we simply love, love is the core of everything. Love is the core. Love is what it's about. Okay? So, let's look at some of the aspects of love. And we're not overlooking 1 Corinthians 13. I mean, we could spend the entire night on 1 Corinthians 13 with, you know, everything that Paul lists there, and that's okay. I encourage you to read that, study that. Love is and love is not. He carries it from both sides. But we want to look specifically now at some things. Love is grace. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Okay? So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of God, they tie together. Okay? I'll define grace for you. Grace is when God looks at you as though you already are what you eventually will be, and he treats you that way. In Bible school, you know, they say unmerited favor. That's what I grew up with. You know, I never knew what it meant. And then some of the other teachers gave me different definitions of grace, but none of it ever seemed to land right. And so one day, about 45 years ago, I said, Father, I want to know, what is your definition of grace? And he said, when I look at you as though you already are what you eventually will be, and I treat you that way. Now, what if everyone you meet tomorrow, we're talking about getting our ground set in. What if you started looking at everyone as though they already are what they eventually will be? Now, years ago, back in 79, 80, in there, Jesse and I had the Truth for Youth House, which meant that we were working with basically drug addicts, alcoholics, hippies, all kind of witchcraft stuff. Kids come in, the guys with their hair tore down to their backs, and this, you know, all kind of freaky stuff. And you look at them, and I'm thinking, you will never amount to anything. And now they're pastoring churches, or they're running businesses. If I'd have only known, if I would have only have known, my children would turn out the way they have. Oh, wow. Now, if I would have only have known that my grandchildren would have turned out the way they have, wow, how would I would have treated them, see? I know I've given you this testimony before, but I want to give it again because it's very, very important. I was having a home meeting in Chillicothe, and I had finished the meeting. We were down in the basement of a house, and everybody went off kind of visiting like you do after a home meeting. And this one lady stayed back, and she said, I can't allow my son to come home anymore. I said, what's the matter? She said, well, he comes home from college, he eats up all my food, always wrecks my car, and I have to end up paying for all of it. And I'm a widow lady. I can't afford my son anymore. Besides that, he's in a rock band, he's on drugs, and she just kept naming off this stuff. So she wanted me to pray for her, and I almost did. But then God spoke to me, and I saw her son. And I said, let me tell you something. I see your son, and your son is pastoring. He's been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's part of a worship team. Of course, she looked at me like, oh, never. Never in a million years would that happen. But then, sometime later, I get this card from her. And she said, you'll never believe what happened. My son has accepted Jesus Christ. He is born again. He's the youth pastor in a church. And he's playing in the worship band. And in the fruit of the Spirit, what do we call that?
Long suffering.
Seeing way out. See, God sees your end from your beginning. And he believes in you. And he believes in all those people that you're going to meet. He believes in them. My son one time said, Dad, I want to be an atheist. He'd been teaching Bible and everything else. And he said, I just decided I want to be an atheist. And I said, well, if you're going to be an atheist, be a good one. I mean, go all out at it. Because, see, I know there isn't any such thing as an atheist. See? And so he put forth his best effort. But, see, God looked down the road and said, don't worry about him. I'll take care of it. And he did, because he was full of grace and full of mercy, which we'll get into later. Okay? Are you getting it? See? And so we're looking at people and we're saying, ah, now you have a really messed up life. That's okay. God didn't care that you have a messed up life. He came to seek and to save that which is lost.
That's right.
Okay? And I think I mentioned this last month, but I'll mention it again. How much grace is available? See, do we have any kind of way of estimating how much grace is available? Well, actually, we do. Because the scripture said, where sin abounds, grace is much more abound. Now, all you have to do is calculate how much sin is on the earth, and then go beyond that, because that's how much grace there is. Yes. Doesn't matter how much sin there is, there's still more grace.
Amen.
Than there is sin. Where sin abounds, grace does much more. That means there's more grace than there is sin. So there's grace for every sin. Right?
Yes.
And so we're smiling at these people that are trying to freak us out. And they're saying, God loves you. But we're seeing this from, not from a knowledge standpoint, but from deep in it inside. We're saying, I want you to know the God who really does love you, and you have no idea how much. But you're about to find out. Yeah. Okay, so next, 1 Timothy 1:14. And the grace of our Lord was, what's it say?
Exceedingly.
The word exceed means more than something. It's exceeding. It exceeds something. See? It's exceedingly abundant. With faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. There again, faith and love work together. Got it? So if we're going to be grounded in love, we have to learn how to walk with grace and how to offer grace to people the same way God does. Exactly the same way God does. You can't look at them and estimate anything. I mean, would you have, if you had met Saul of Tarsus, you know, would you have said, hey, guess what? God loves you. He's full of grace. And don't cut my head off.
No.
But how did God look at him? See, God looked at him with love and grace. And he knew what the end would be. He knew that he'd write a good part of the New Testament. He knew that he'd go on missions and lead hundreds or thousands of people to the Lord and establish churches all over. Yeah. And so God was long-suffering and full of grace and full of mercy. Okay, the next thing then that we need is mercy. Okay? We need to be quick to offer mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Okay. If you want mercy, you have to give mercy. Now, in the government, in the laws of the United States of America, mercy is a legal term. You can always plead for mercy. Now there's a problem with it. You have to plead guilty before you can plead for mercy. But if you're willing to plead guilty, then you can plead for mercy. How many of us needed mercy? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many people out there need mercy? Why did you mess up your life like that? God wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
He would never say that. He said, I'm here to save you. I'm here to help you. Yeah. And so with this, we begin to be grounded in love, reaching out to people that everyone else had passed by.
Yes.
I went to preach a revival one time at this church, and the pastor said, get in the car, we're going to go visiting. I said, okay. And so we get in the car, and we drive, and we drive, and we drive. And we go clear over to these people's house, but no one's home. So we get back in the car, and we drive clear up over here, and there's no one home. And so we drive off over here, and now it's time to go back to the church so I can preach a revival. I said, sir, do you realize how many people we've driven past that would love to have heard us make an offering to them to come? Oh, it's so easy to go past. Oh, well, probably not them. No, probably not you. Probably, you know. And we just go, and in our minds, we dismiss people. You know, they don't look right. They probably, you know, wouldn't respond anyway. Plus, Satan will play tricks with you. I've often said that the anointing always goes out of you when you put your hand on the doorknob. You have all kind of revelation. Oh, you know, I'm going to go tell them about the love of God, the mercy of God, the salvation of God. And you get to the door. Oh, they probably don't want it anyway. The devil plays tricks with you. But if you follow through, if you have good grounding, you'll press in with mercy, with grace, with love, and you'll press in. You know what? Most of the time you'll find hungry hearts. Hungry hearts. People that you wouldn't think would want to have anything to do with the gospel. Remember this one guy I was witnessing at the park in Kansas City. And I went over to talk to this one guy, and he would run around. You know, it talks about Satan. Well, you plant a seed, and Satan will come and steal the seed away. Mm-hmm. Well, that was his job. He served Satan, too. Every time I would witness to somebody, he would run over right after that to pull the seed out, so that they wouldn't believe. And so one day I saw him sitting by himself. And I went over and I sat down with him and introduced myself. And he said, I know who you are. I figured he knew that. I said, well, you know, I want to learn a little bit about you. I said, I see that you serve Satan. What is your job? What is your gifting? And he said, well, I'm a clairvoyant. And I said, that's wonderful. I said, and what do clairvoyants do? He said, well, I can look in your eyes and I can see everything that's inside of you. I said, that's really great. I said, look in my eyes and see what you see. He looked at me and he said, I see great faith. I see Jesus. I said, do you want to accept Jesus as your Savior? He said, yes, I do. I prayed for you, he became a minister. Everybody else will pass him by, but not God. See, rooted and grounded in love. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay, so let's look at this Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 8. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love. He's rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Okay, here again we have a question. The question is, how much does God love them? How much does God love you? How much does God love me? Well, the answer to that, of course, is found in John 17. Because Jesus prayed, and the Father heard his prayer. And his prayer was, Father, I want you to love them as much as you love me. I want you to love them as much as you love me. And that releases the grace and the mercy. You just take your pencil and mark that part of the scripture out. Yeah. Just delete that out of your phone. Yeah. Oh, you don't think we ought to do that? Oh, okay, well, I'll go ahead and read it then. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. Is there anyone out there that's dead in trespasses? Maybe they qualify for mercy. Maybe they qualify for grace. Now we're getting grounded. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, where are heavenly places? Let's see. The nearest star to the Earth is 300 light years away. I heard a guy the other day, he actually calculated that out in how many trillions of trillions of trillions of miles that nearest star, heaven may be out there somewhere. Well, of course, God is the God of heaven, and he fills the heavens. But where are heavenly places? Well, it's right here. It's where heaven touches the earth. It's where the two come together. Throughout Scripture, it's referred to as the heavenly realm, the heavenly sphere. It's the contact God has with people. See? And so there's this realm that God is, by his Spirit, trying to reach people, loving people. I like to do, when I'm in my closet, in my office, all by myself, I do a lot of animation. I talk. Remember, our soul, what's the activity of the soul? Will, purpose, emotion, animation, and utterance. So we talk. I talk out loud. I visit with God. He visits with me. But I also do animation, which is movement. Sacrifice of praise. We lift up our hands. That's a sacrifice of praise. That's animation. That's your soul recognizing the living God. And a lot of times when you do that, you can actually experience the love of God. I do. I don't just hold my hands up. I wave them and I touch and I receive. And he just fills me and fills me and fills me. And then when I'm in intercession, I do the same thing. With, for instance, I'm praying for Donald Trump, our president, Eric Greitens, our governor. And I actually put my arms around them and I love them. And I say, Ephesians 3:18, experiencing for yourself the love of God, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. And I love them. Now, people hundreds of miles away, when I do that, they've actually come back to, and they tell me, I felt that. Was that at such and such a day and such a time? Remember one guy was clear down in Honduras, and he said, I felt God, and he just put his arms around me and loved me.
Yes.
You know, I do it for Benjamin Netanyahu every day. Love him, Father. Let him experience your love. Yeah. So we can do that. And that's part of where the animation for parting the clouds is coming up today. And it's not something I pray about, it's something I speak, because as intercessors we have power and authority. See, we don't realize how much authority we have over everything, see, because of the indwelling Christ that's in us. He said, all authority is given unto me, heaven and earth. So you go. And here we go. Now, rooted and grounded in love, full of power, full of grace, full of mercy. Got it? Okay. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ. Love is kind. And by the way, that word from the Greek, you could actually bring it over into English. Rather than kindness, it actually better translates friendly. Hmm. Be friendly. Be so kindness, we think, you know, we'll be kind to animals or whatever. But be friendly. One of the best ways that we find to be friendly is to not run up and say, you need Jesus as your Savior, but go and say, would you tell me your story? Tell me your story. Tell me where you've been. Yeah. And then in the process, tell me where you're hurt. What can I do? I remember I was in that same park where I met this guy. I was just walking around, I was led by compassion over to this one guy. And so I sat down with him. I'd never seen him before, didn't know him. Started talking to him. And I said, well, tell me about yourself. He had a piece of paper. I said, well, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm trying to write a poem for a contest. I said, oh, wonderful. I said, did you ever hear of the word enthusiasm? And he, well, I've heard the word enthusiasm. I said, well, do you know what it means? And he said, no. Well, it comes from two words, in thos, God in you. I said, why don't you let me pray for you, and God will put a poem in you better than anything anybody could ever write. Would you do that? I said, yes, I would. See, meeting at their point, see, loving them, not being superior. Part of being humble is there's no one below you. No one below you. Jesus emptied himself and came down so low that there was no one below him. So, if there's no one below us, how many of you have ever read anything about Watchman Nee? Okay, Chinese fellow. And he gave this illustration. And he was talking about doing mission work, because he went all over China. And he said, I take off on my trip, and it becomes night time, and there's no where to sleep. And so he said, I just go over in the ditch and I make me a little bed of leaves and I lay down and I go to sleep. But he said, then the next day I may be in a village and they offer me a cot. So I don't turn them down. I like to sleep on a cot. But he said, then the next day I end up in a luxury home. and they have this wonderful bed. And so I sleep in the bed, and I love to sleep in the bed. But then the next night, I'm out on the road, and there is no bed and no cot. And I make my bed in the ditch. See, just because he's had good things doesn't mean that there's anything below him or anything he wouldn't do to carry out the gospel of the Lord Jesus. See what I'm saying? And so if there's no one out there below us, we're not superior to anyone, then we can be rooted and grounded in love, with grace and mercy toward them all. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. 2 John 1:3, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. In truth and love. A few months back, we talked about Jesus coming in grace and truth. Remember that? Grace and truth. And you think, it can't be. You know, how can he know the truth about me and still be gracious to me? Okay, the same way here, truth and love. If he knows the truth about me, how messed up my life is, how can he love me? And that's what everyone out there, when you start talking to them, I've just made too much of a mess in my life. God wouldn't want me. And I love to tell them, God knows everything about you. Mm-hmm. And he loves you anyway.
That's right.
He loves you. As much as he loves anyone, and he can't stop loving because God is love. He can't stop loving. And so, what do we have to offer? The love of God. See? Being rooted and grounded in love. Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. So, we're walking humbly. No one below us. No one beneath us. If you want to be rooted and grounded in love,
that's right.
See, we have to find out who each individual is, right? Rooted and grounded in love. But to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Okay, love is compassion. Okay, let's define compassion. Compassion is seeing the need of another or others with a desire to help. Now, as we listen to God and as we are filled with the love of God, we can actually be drawn by compassion. It will actually pull you. And I've shared many testimonies where God has actually pulled me hundreds of miles to get to a place at the exact right moment to meet in me. I won't go into all those testimonies tonight, but you can actually follow compassion. It will pull you. It will draw you. And even making turns, turn here, and none of you probably remember Gene Souder. You might. Gene,
yes,
Wanda, okay. Gene had taken a church up in northern Missouri somewhere. I didn't know where. I'd lost really a contact with him. I'd prayed for him and Wanda for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They were Southern Baptists and prayed for him. But I'd lost contact with him. Anyway, I finished up a meeting in Chillicothe on a Saturday night. I woke up Sunday morning and I said, Father, what are we doing today? And he didn't give me an answer. So go out and I do this. I love to do this. I go out and I get in my car. And I say, okay, here we go. You direct me. And so I went south, I got highway, whatever that is, 60. And anyway, I'm going. But I can feel this pull. I have no idea where I'm going or what I'm going to do when I get there. I get to Highway 13. It turned north, so I went north. And then we started back on some country roads. And I turned, and there's this little bitty town. I've never seen it, never heard of it. And so I'm driving through this town. I get right even with the Assembly of God Church there. And that's where compassion stopped. I said, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. And I went in. Who's pastoring the church but Gene Zelder? And they were getting ready to go back. They always take the pastor back in the pastor's office, lay hands on him, and pray for him. And so I thought, well, I'd like to do that. And they invited me. So I went back and I laid hands on him with all of the elders of the church. And Gene never said anything to anyone. But all of a sudden, all the men turned, laid hands on me, and Gene said, you're preaching today. Okay. I didn't know what to say. But they prayed for me. And so I went to the pulpit. And as soon as I got to the pulpit, God showed me what to say. But I spoke truth. And when I got done, Gene Souter said, if I said that, I'd have been fired in a minute. I said, well, you didn't have to. And they can't fire me because they didn't hire me. But compassion.
Yes, that's a nice man.
Compassion. And we can be pulled by the Spirit. So if we're going to be grounded in love, here again, doesn't matter how much power you have. You have to be grounded in love so that God can direct your path. 33:19. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God said, I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And I don't need your permission.
That's right.
I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I don't need your permission.
That's right.
If you want to be rooted and grounded in love, I love you. He doesn't need our permission. But he does need for us to love in his behalf. Psalm 86:15. But you, O Lord, are full of compassion. Full. You can't get any fuller than full. And gracious, long suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. Psalm 112:4. Unto the upright there rises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Righteousness meaning the demands of a relationship. Loving your enemies, loving your neighbors, loving the people you work with, loving your boss, loving whoever. That's our job. That's our part of being grounded so that we can broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 14:14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion on them and healed their sick. Now there's one thing you'll notice about the miracles of Jesus. He never performed a miracle But what the word compassion was attached to it. He saw a need and he met the need. We'll use the widow lady in the town of Nain. He's going along and he sees this funeral procession. And he stops the procession and he raises the young man from the dead. Now, the question is, why did he do it? To prove how great he was? How powerful he was?
No.
He saw a widow lady. That's what compassion is. She had just lost her only son, her only means of support. Now, it doesn't say anything about him having compassion on the young man. It said he had compassion on her and raised her son back to life. In other words, he met her need. All the miracles that Jesus performed come out of compassion, seeing the need of another or others with a desire, I can help. I can help. What if we lived like that? What if everywhere we went, we knew the power we have? We knew the authority that we have. Yes, we can heal the sick. We can raise the dead. We can deliver people from demons. There's no one out there. We can't help. What's your need? Yes, I can help. Remember, a couple of months back, we were looking at Peter as he was headed toward Joppa. There was a lame man. And he saw that he was paralyzed. And he didn't pray for him. Did you notice? He didn't pray for him. He said, Jesus makes you well. And the guy got up perfectly healed. Goes on a little further and finds Dorcas is dead. Goes in, raises her from the dead. Goes on and then ends up at Cornelius' house, leading the first Gentiles to be born again. Just walking in the Spirit. But there isn't anything impossible. Nothing impossible to those who believe. And by the way, it's really fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy every day. And it doesn't matter. I don't have strangers. I don't meet strangers. I just meet people. Everyone has a need. We were talking that I go to church. I get to church an hour early every day. Jesse and I just love it. Because we do more ministry in the foyer than ever gets done in the sanctuary. Because that's where people open up. Yeah. Hey, I have this problem. I have this need. Oh, okay. And we don't say, let's go to a back room to pray. We pray right then and right there.
That's right.
Fact is, I may yank on a few other people and say, let's pray. What happens? God meets their need. And that spreads around. See? They can feel the love of God. They can feel the presence of God. Mark 1:41, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion. Look what it says now, having compassion one for another. What did we say the signs of the end time church would be? When we finally love one another. See? Yeah, Jesus said there'll be famines, earthquakes, all kinds of things, but he says, but the time is not yet. If you look in the Bible, it says he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. A unity of the Spirit. We all become one, loving one another. And what happens? If any two of you agree as touching anything, it's done. Wouldn't that be wonderful? No, not even have to think about it.
No.
It's done. We pray and it's done.
Yes.
Yeah. And we just walk away. That's what I do. I just pray, I know it's done, I walk away. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love us, brothers, be tender-hearted and courteous. Jude 1:22, and on some, having compassion, making a distinction. People experience God through you. Hallelujah. We don't know, and I know I've explained this to you many times, but it's like if you run a hot tub of water and you get in that hot tub of water, it feels hot. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you stay in it a while, it isn't hot anymore. Is it because the water cooled off or because you adapted?
Yeah.
See, the fact is we have adapted to the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
So we really don't feel that. And I know in churches a lot of times, well, this church used to be so full of love. You know, I just don't know what happened. Well, what happened was, you know, not that the church changed, but sometimes we adapt. And then it just feels comfortable. Now, where before it impacted us, okay? But the fact is, I'm saying all that to say this, you walk in Walmart, people feel the love of God. They feel the presence of God. You go in the grocery store, go in the gas station, wherever you go, they feel. Have you ever been around evil people? Because I had to work around even demon-possessed people and Satan worshipers and all of that. And I could feel them. I could actually, they could walk in the room and I could feel them.
Sure.
They don't affect me, I affect them. I rattle their cage.
Yes, you do.
I terrorize the terrorists with the love of God.
Amen.
Amen? Okay. Now, as we move on along month after month, you'll notice there's three pages. Keep your paper with you and bring it back next month. And we want to continue in this. This is probably the most important thing, other than being filled with the Holy Spirit, having the power to broadcast. The next and most important thing, or probably equal importance, is to be rooted and grounded in love. So let's continue to meditate on it, pray about it. Lord, how can I be rooted and grounded in love? How can I spread the gospel? We're praying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God isn't going to do it without people. God's going to do it through people. Okay? He could, but he won't.
Yeah.
He's going to do it through us. And through, it doesn't matter what the name on the church door is, but wherever there's born again believers, he's filling them with the Spirit, and it's his body to do his work. See? And so, remember the revelation God gave me, said I'm putting my arm down, I am stopping the Antichrist, and I'm giving to you a time of peace and safety. That's part of my animation every day. Stopping the Antichrist and peace and safety. Let's all stand together. Let's do that. I know you'll feel silly, but that's okay. Let's feel silly. Hallelujah. Let's all do it together. I stop the Antichrist and I release peace and safety. Peace and safety. What if you did it 3 times? Peace and safety. What if you did it 4 times? Peace and safety. How many arrows do you have? Peace and safety. Peace and safety. Hallelujah. And we go out and notice there's no end to it. Notice there's no end to that. There will be an end, but God didn't tell any of us when that is. But he said, this is the time to spread my gospel. He said, don't waste it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to think about someone right now that really needs the love of God. And I want you to put your arms around. Just bring your arms out and around. Just to you, you know, mention it out loud, but just to yourself there. Mention that person's name. And I love you. God loves you. Experience the love of God. Right now. Right now. Experience the love of God. Donald Trump, experience the love of God right now. Oh, in a whole new way. Hallelujah. Be filled with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Be filled with the love of God. Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yes.
Feel the love of God. I put my arms around you. I love you with the love of the Lord. Your Messiah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Experience the Messiah. Experience the love of God. Eric Greitens, experience the love of God right now. Put my arms around you. And I love you as God loves you, with great grace and great mercy, not holding anything against you. We forgive you of all sin. We have that power and the authority to forgive you. I know God has forgiven you. We forgive you in Jesus' name.
That's right.
That is cast away as far as the east is from the west. No matter what they say against you, the love of God be upon you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you, Father. I love you, Heavenly Father. I love you, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I love you, Holy Spirit of God. I love you, Word of God. I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. Be filled with the love of God. Be filled with the faith of God. Be filled with love and grace and mercy and compassion. Be filled with peace that passes all understanding. Be full of a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory.